Dr. Quincast is now on Patreon. If you would like to get early access to the podcast, higher quality files, stickers, and more sent right to your home, please visit patreon.com/drquincast. All support is appreciated and goes right back into producing the podcast.
Welcome to the newest episode of Dr. Quincast. I'm Kelly here with Mark.
Hey, Kelly. It's my new radio voice.
Yeah. Sure is.
Hey.
Sure is.
Sure is. Thank you, Colleen.
So, we are here tonight talking about a very interesting episode. You want to say which one we're talking about?
Sure. It is an episode called Hero.
How about you shut up?
I don't have it ready. Can't have them all. We're talking about heroes, as in Subway Heroes. No.
Yes, yes. Oh, man. I actually wasn't, even when I was taking notes, thinking about the Subway thing.
I didn't either until just this second.
I could have, like, really ran with that.
Yeah, like, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm a little disappointed. A little bit.
I know. Well, I was kind of like,
cancel the episode.
I felt like I was sort of like rushing through making the notes and everything for it. Just because like stuff kept coming up and I'm like, I gotta get this done. Get the clips and everything. Why so I kind of feel like I was rushing a little bit and I'm all like, man, these notes are going to be like nothing. Cause I'm just like trying to get the clips at least. But then they ended up being like, you know,
26 pages.
Yeah.
20?
Yeah, exactly.
Not 6 pages, people. 26 pages.
But if I'd been thinking about the hero thing, I probably would have.
All right, here's an interesting question, I think. Why is it called Heroes?
Because
of Sully.
Are we talking about the sandwich, or are we talking about the episode?
Yes. That's my the episode, of course.
Okay, so like Sully, I guess, was supposed to be the hero, yeah, even though, I mean, in a way it kind of worked out. Well, actually, Wolf is the real hero, because Wolf is the one who gets the scent and finds her, right? But it was supposed to be Sully, like, rescuing her. That didn't really go according to plan. But then Robert E. kind of becomes a bit of a hero.
Actually, he's like, the one who's called
Grace
the
even
hero.
Calls yeah. Robert E. her hero.
It's a good point.
Yeah, and then also good old Lewis figures out the worm thing with his microscope.
I like Lewis. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm a Lewis
fan. I think
fan.
He seems like a really sweet kid.
I would love to have seen Lewis come into town with Preston as his son.
He kind of looks like he could be his son.
Yeah, but his hair would be slicked back half the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like, you know, Horace has slicked back hair, and like Lewis has not yet graduated from Oath Camp.
You can't slick
it
back
yet. He doesn't have the Oath hair yet, but he does have the little black sleeves. So he's like gearing up to take the oath, but he's not quite there yet.
You know, one of these days, Horace is going to sit him down and hand him a little jar of pomade. And he's going to give him a comb and say, this is how you do it. This is how we do it. The Oath Keepers.
The Oath Keepers.
Yeah.
It sounds like it'd be like some really weird, like, young adult series or something.
Wait, aren't Oath Keepers something? Isn't that a group of some things that are hopefully not an adult type of terrible thing? Isn't it like something where they make a promise? Oath Keepers. Is an American far-right anti-government militia.
Okay.
Whose members claim to be defending the Constitution of the United States. Huh, there you
claim
go.
To be.
I'm an Oath Keeper. You know what their motto is?
It's our sacred duty.
Not on our watch.
Oh.
These colors.
There's this one point in this episode when Horace says sacred duty, like,
oh my
compulsively
God.
Almost. Like, it's like he says it like 10 times. And I'm like, dude, Horace.
Is that like this week's lesson for Lewis?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Which, by the way, before we get off on too many tangents, this episode is season one. Might be listed as 13 or 14, depending on if you count the pilot, which I believe a while ago we decided our official stance was that the pilot counts, right? We would, as episode one, I mean, it counts as the first episode.
You know, so yeah, so this is season one, episode 14. And
May 1st,
1993. Yeah, so it's a really long time ago. I think that the way the show looks is so good that I forget how old of a series it is.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah,
it always just like has like this really nice feel to it, and it does seem more sophisticated than a lot of '90s shows.
Yeah, like there's real character development, and the sets are really nice, and I really enjoy it. Obviously, we have a podcast. I don't have to sell the people listening, you know. I guess. So I'm gonna play the music that gets played in the opening scene, which is kind of goofy. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the point of it is, but you pointed it out. I didn't really pay attention to it until you pointed it out. So here we go. I just want to see Kyle walking down the street with like devil sticks or something.
I mean, so this is like the real like theme song to the whole episode. And I can't think of a time that we have this in another episode off the top of my head.
You mean this particular song or having
It's kind of like the theme for this episode. Although sometimes when we record and I say things like that, then like the next day I'll be watching an episode and I'll be like, damn it.
You hear in the background, like,
so like maybe it has appeared somewhere else. I just can't think of it. But
you hear this in the background.
Yeah, right. Although I think that if I were to pick the theme song for this episode, it might be something different. And I think maybe you know what it is.
Would it be Chateau?
No.
No. What would it be? I don't know.
What's our other one that we have queued up?
I don't have. That's the only one I have queued up. Do you mean from the I'm totally missing our cues. Well, this is like the Sully song, right?
I'm like joking.
One of my favorite
it's the Sully song.
Here it comes. I can totally picture him kind of walking through town in slow motion with Wolf.
And like in this episode, he's always just like showing up kind of in the background, like listening. And it would be really funny if like every time he shows up kind of in the background and he starts like.
One of my favorite things about this cover, and I remembered it from when I bought it, but how it just says, it's the band Air, and the name of the album is Moon Safari. And on the side it says, French band.
Yeah, I know, that's really funny.
French band. But it's a great song.
Some, like, I guess artwork may be affiliated with the album. Like, I don't have, like, the physical album, so I'm not sure. But, like, on the YouTube thing, like, when they show, like, the little, like, the cover, you know, of the album, and then like halfway through the video, it switches to this other thing where it's just like this little like stuffed gorilla wearing a little t-shirt that says "I Heart Moon."
That's on the CD. I mean, that's on the album.
I mean, I assumed it was from it because
maybe it's
like,
in the liner
or like
notes.
Some artwork associated with it because it pops up on like the video after they switch off the album cover, and I'm like assuming it's like some artwork associated with it. And of course, the album is called Moon Safari, so like it.
Yeah, fits I Heart
that
Moon.
Thing. But the little, this like, it's like this little gorilla. It's like really cute.
It's like I Heart Wolf.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I mean, it's a great, I think it's a great song. And the album is pretty good. This is the strongest song on the album, in my opinion. In my opinion. So here we go.
Who cares all your opinion?
Who gives a crap? You just, in the background, you just hear people writing notes. And I.
Dear Mark.
Dear Mark.
No one asked you.
Not everything's a joke, Mark. Kelly, you can tell jokes, but not Mark. and I find your Italian accent very, very offensive.
Hey, Brian.
Mozzarella.
Hey, Brian.
It's Stromboli. What? Sausage and peppers.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Dr. Mike.
Wait, here we go.
Dr. Mike!
That was too loud, but sorry. We are off the rails. This is going to be our last recording for the year, I think. Because mm-hmm. you're
yeah,
going away
which by the time
a,
it's
couple
released,
hours.
Don't panic, loyal listeners. Because
oh,
by
yeah.
the time it's released, it's going to be like, what?
2022.
March, and you're like, what? No more for the year? No, we're not.
That's right.
But we are recording. We are recording here in the month of December for and future release.
And hey,
so
we're
gonna have a little break after this.
We're doing these watch parties now. Hopefully, we'll be in full swing by the time this episode is released.
Yeah.
And those are a lot of fun. So hopefully, people are enjoying that.
Yeah. So hopefully, that kind of keeps continuing and growing and everything.
But Colleen won. Goes into the telegraph office to pick up her Amazon Prime. This music is a little bit too much. It's a little, I don't know, it's a little too
no,
fancy.
No, sexy boy, that's for
it's
sure.
So not sexy boy.
Good morning, Horace.
Hello, Colleen. Oh, that package come for you.
That package come for you.
Good job, Horace.
Good job.
Colleen, you're rocking on here too.
I just can't wait to see what happens in the next chapter. I wonder if Carolina will finally tell Colt she loves him.
What's that guy yelling in the background?
I didn't hear it.
Oh, it's like it was just.
I mean,
kind
I
of
heard
random.
Someone yelling, but I didn't hear what he was saying.
Mr. Bean.
Oh, hello, girls. You know my nephew Louis visiting from Kansas.
Now, if it's his nephew, that means Horace has a brother or sister.
Right.
What do you think?
We never meet a brother or sister, though, which is pretty interesting.
Or hear of.
Well, and then also when Myra and the Horace get divorced, you know, when she leaves, mm-hmm. she moves to St. Louis.
You think that's maybe where his family was based?
Well, I don't think that's why she would go there, no. But like.
Move in with the in-laws? you never know. Maybe. Who knows? Until they go on. And
she's
Colleen,
milking everybody for support.
Exactly. I'll just stay for a week.
Yeah, right.
Sleep on the couch 3 years later.
Hello, Louis. Mr. Bing, where's our new weekly?
Well, no. Colleen was here first. Oh, here it is.
No cutting.
Thank you, Horace. Oh, I'm so glad it finally came.
What is it?
It's a present. Dr. Mike!
Is that a stethoscope?
Sure is.
Sure. A very breathy sure is.
Sure is.
It sure is.
Don't listen.
All right, so I think that you agree. Louis is I like Louis. I wish Louis
yeah,
stuck
I think
around.
He's a good character. I'm actually meant to look up because I couldn't remember off the top of my head, like, because he just kind of disappears after a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, what's like the last episode he appears in? And I meant to like look it up, you know, see like the last time that his character was on it, and then I just didn't get around to doing it.
I bet he was only in like 3 or 4 episodes.
I mean, I feel like he shows up. He's in the second season, isn't he? Like he's kind of there for a little bit.
See, the way I watched it, it's such a blur. So
you know, actually, I think he's in the second season because that episode when Dorothy, like right after she's in town, and then there's like Halloween. It's like the next episode, and they think she's a witch.
Mm-hmm.
I think Louis is one of the kids who's like in on that, isn't he? So, like, I think he is in the second season.
You know, we're gonna have to do this fact check, but I'm gonna let this play while we fact check.
Can my heart beating?
Sure can. It's just a visual scene, but I don't know. I think that they actually would have made a halfway decent couple. Personally,
I was thinking that when I was watching this too. Like, he kind of seems like the kind of guy that Colleen One would go for.
Also, his name is Louis Bing. So, he must have a brother. A twin brother.
A twin brother.
An identical twin brother.
Yeah, that he never talks about because he took an oath.
I can't talk about my twins. An oath.
It's part of oath camp.
So Erica Flores's sister, Melissa Flores, is also in this episode.
Yes.
She plays Missy.
The one chick.
She's the one who looks a little bit like Erica Flores.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking here. Lewis is played by a character named David. I mean, an actor named David Tom. And he looks good. I mean, like now, it's not like he like became like a crackhead and got ugly. And he's still doing stuff. He has a movie coming out in post-production called Uber Experience.
So interesting.
He's on, let's see, he was in, all right, final guess. How many episodes do you think Lewis Bing was in? And I do want to just kind of say he was in that Halloween episode.
Yeah, I knew it.
But how many?
Okay, so I'm just going to kind of like try to guess how many he was in.
Wrong.
Shut up. How about you shut up?
Sure is.
I would say like 10 to 15.
Three. Three episodes.
What, are you serious?
Yeah, three episodes.
He seems like he's in more.
He's in Heroes, Portraits, and Halloween.
Is that seriously it?
Yeah, that's it.
No way.
The following year, he would play Todd.
He obviously has a bigger presence in my mind.
I think you had a little bit of a crush on him back in the day.
You sure did.
Sure
did. That's crazy. Like, yeah. I can't believe it was only three.
Maybe you're confusing him with someone else, but I don't think there is anyone else. You go back to, a very young Kelly.
Well, like, they never explained what happens to him. Like, I assume he went to Oath Camp, and then his life just sort of took off from there.
He went away. He went to Oath Camp for Thanksgiving.
Why is he staying like kind of long term? Like, that's a little bit weird. Because like in this episode, he's like visiting from St. Louis, but he's still around like a few episodes later.
It's kind of
funny.
And
then a few episodes after that, and then in the Portraits episode, which is his like second of three, I guess. When Horace's mother is visiting, there's no mention of siblings. Like, did his sibling die and that's why the kid is there?
Maybe, yeah.
Or something. But then, like, where does the kid go?
Well, I think it's funny, now that you're mentioning it, that Lewis comes from St. Louis. It's kind of...
He comes from St. Louis. That's spelled S-T period L-E-W-I-S.
It's Nebraska. But it's a fictional character. They're all 100% these, as we are told all the time, that's just a TV show. These are fictional characters. Why did Lewis have to come from St. Louis?
Well, I guess that's like the big town in the West, kind of, right?
Well, New York. How about that? He traveled from
like
east.
In the West, though, like
LA. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, right, L.A. Lewis came from L.A.
Yeah, he used to live on La Brea. Work at the In-N-Out. So, all right, let's... I also noticed there was a wanted poster in the back for somebody for Rufus. I thought when I was reading it, and it's all blurry, I'm like, is he going to say Firefly? Because that's a Marx Brothers joke. But it's Rufus T. Jones. And it's a $25 reward. I mean, what do you do for $25?
I don't know. So when Belle Starr, what was the reward for her? Because I'm like, maybe it's more of a
maybe?
Petty thing. Because like when Sully, he was wanted for what, like $500?
Yeah, I think
something?
It was $500, and I think Belle might have been $500 or $600.
Because like when, okay, so Sully, that was like, a federal offense. Like it was like a pretty big deal. So I guess it would be like more money,
but it was
sort of
wanted.
Like maybe this was just like sort of like a petty robbery or something. But then like Belle Starr was she wanted for like I guess more than that too. So
Rufus T. Really. Jones is wanted for armed robbery. Maybe they think he'll be easy to catch.
Yeah.
He's blind. So they're like, he's blind. We'll find him. It's just $25. It's fine. All right. So there's like kind of a love story that is running in the newspaper. This is before Dorothy's newspaper would come and take over the entire nation.
Yeah, back when they used to get papers that weren't Dorothy's.
Yeah, when they would actually look forward to it, you know. And they have this like kind of running serial.
Back before it became a chore.
I wonder if there were dramas like this, like drama serials that were in newspapers. I'm sure.
Yes, there were. That actually, there were like a lot of works kind of published around this time, even stuff that like it's like a novel, but they were like serially published.
Hmm. So then you would get like a chapter, like each issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great idea. And I know the New York Times tends to do some stuff like that, but who can afford the New York Times? It's like $6 an issue.
Not Lewis.
Not Lewis. Certainly not Lewis.
Spent all his money on that microscope.
And those sleeves. His own sleeves.
And all that, like, so he has to go to Ulta and buy the hair conditioner that gives you 3x volume.
It's the Johnny Depp hair dye. I mean, the Johnny Depp dip. Or dip. Or mousse.
And then Kyle comes up like, where'd you get your hair conditioner?
Hey, Brian. He takes out like one of those like switchblade combs. Combs his hair. People are like, what are they talking about? I don't know. I don't know what we're talking about. We're 1 minute 55 seconds into the episode. Welcome to Dr. Quincast. So they're reading it and they all seem really interested in it. Kyle's like, just like, I'm going to stand here and look at four girls. It's better than staring at Horace.
There's a lot of like weird listening in this episode. Like, he's just standing there listening. I'm like, this seems a little awkward. And then Sully's always creeping up on conversations in a way that seems like a little bit awkward.
You know, it's Sully because this is playing in the background.
Yeah.
Whenever he walks in.
Dude, I like want to like make a video where he's just like walking down the street with Wolf, like with that song playing
for 24 hours.
Yeah, right. 24-hour loop.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, he's just kind of listening in, looking at the girls, and enjoying his time, I guess.
He's trying to pick up tips, be like, what are the ladies like? Maybe if I listen to this, I'll figure it out.
Mom told me that these little glasses would really be helpful in my dating. Not so far, though.
Are they helpful for seeing? I mean, the lenses are so little.
Oh, my God. They're the size of dimes. How do you see?
Is it even, like, enough to, like, look through?
It's the Oath Camp look of 1869. You know, he's like, you know, rolling up his sleeve. What do they call them? Sleeve. They were called something. I'm sorry. I have to find out what they were called. So I started doing research and I couldn't find the actual use, the actual reason why they wear them. Although it seems like a lot of common sense, I was told that it is not because of ink. But the guy also didn't tell me what it was for.
It's like, you probably think it was ink. I'm here to tell you that you're wrong.
Right.
But I'm not going to tell you what it was.
And then the guy drops dead and you have no idea what he was going to say.
Well, so if anybody listening knows why telegraph operators wear those black sleeves.
Officially knows.
Yeah, if you have, you know, source information.
No, this is one of these.
Now your wife likes sources.
Oh my God.
If you have sourced information.
If you have, yeah, you're going to have to send a source and it should be formatted correctly. I prefer the APA format.
Nah, I gotta go Chicago.
Is that a format? Chicago format?
Yeah, Chicago manual of style.
Yeah, I read about a bunch of them and I'm like, I know too much about sourcing materials. Thanks. Yikes.
Yeah, Chicago is my preferred and it's the one that historians use by and large.
That's pretty cool.
It's kind of the one that I, for lack of a better phrase, grew up with. And the one I'm most comfortable with, and actually the one that I think makes the most sense.
Mm.
This is going to be like a nerdy tangent, but in English they use MLA, which I've had to somewhat adapt to for those purposes, but Chicago will always be my favorite.
Now, do you find your professors have their preferred format and that's what you have to put it in, or do you think that they'll adapt to what you want?
Mm. It's like a disciplinary format. Like, it's like discipline wide. Mm. So, I mean, generally, I guess I can't speak for like all professors at all institutions everywhere.
Right.
But like, yeah, generally it's like disciplines have their like preferred things. So like history does Chicago.
Yeah. And like APA.
Is like MLA. Like, I think like psychology uses like APA. Like there are like, you know, it kind of disciplines have like their preferred ones.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Yeah, you know, there's probably some weird one-off, you know.
There's a lot of them. Yeah, there are a lot of them, and there are all these like weird generators for them that exist.
Yeah,
but they seem useful too because they also seem to catalog all of your sources for you.
Right. Yeah,
it's like a bookmark and collector.
Also, yeah, like the sources and provide ways for, you know. I'm a big footnote fan, so
it makes me really glad that I did not go back to school. I just, you know, I'm not good with sources, you know. Psst. Overrated. Not really, though. I'm speaking to a historian, and I'm saying that sources are overrated. not exactly a great way to continue this conversation. How dare you? But everything's cool if I just do this.
All right, I'll stay for a few minutes.
All right, good. All right, sit down. It's fine. Have a glass of sherry.
Sherry Niles.
So this is one of the reasons why you should never read. Colleen is being called by Michaela, so she borrows last week's cereal to read. I don't know where she lost it, or she wore it out or something.
She was like sleeping with her under her pillow, and
Sully's like, can I borrow this? I need a blanket.
For the lean-to. Oh, Wolf needs something to pee on.
Come on, not again. It's my cereal. So yeah, she's walking across the street.
Wolf's like, did somebody say cereal?
Watch out, Colleen!
That's not thunder. That's Sully running to save Colleen's life. And he does. He jumps right to action. What do you think of Sully's hair in this episode?
So he has that, like, you know, season one thing where it has, like, the very, like, Jim Morrison-esque bangs mm-hmm. and everything on it. It looks okay, but I don't think it's the best style for him. I like when the bangs are growing out a little bit.
Yeah, he looks good. You know, I don't mind it so much. Sometimes it looks really bad in the second season, I think. But the first season, Sully, I like his hair. Something
about I think it. Season three, he has some good hair going on. Mm. Season four, he gets that weird haircut. And then I think probably season five, it's kind of back.
He's like, I'm never going to go to the lemon tree next to the subway again.
Yeah, right. No, he's like, man, I knew it was a bad idea to take that shot. I knew it. I don't ever drink, but I did it. Next thing I knew, I was combing my hair.
Waiting to see the tattoo. Just Wolf. They spelled it wrong. Two V's. Like that crazy guy who posts it. You ever see that guy who posts Wolf all the time?
Oh, in the group?
Yeah.
It's weird.
I don't want to call him out or anything, but hey, we all have the things that we like, and you know, I like Wolf. I love Wolf.
Yeah, Wolf is cool.
But that guy really loves Wolf.
Yeah. My dog's like Wolf, so.
Love Wolf. I think he posts that all the time. Good guy, good guy. So here we go. So the guy who got hurt, Dr. Mike is
Dr. Mike.
Is treating, and here we go. I'm just gonna play.
200 miles on the trail, and my full arm gets busted in town.
You see this, how the cast is going on his arm with, like, the plaster of Paris?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, have you ever used plaster of Paris?
Like, have you ever messed with it? Not that I can remember. If I have, it's been, like, a really long time.
It kind of gets hot when it's curing. So, I mean, it's not hot. I don't think it's hot enough to burn you, but, I mean, I've used it before, and I just think it's crazy that, you know, she just has her hands all over it. I would hope that she would wash them very quickly.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
Oh, which, by the way, speaking of him, because this is, like, one of those cowboys, you know, that, like, came into town that they were talking about, like, right before the whole almost crash happened.
Also, this guy's haircut is far too modern. Sorry.
Yeah, right.
He's got the fade, like, they were, and everything.
Like, kind of kicking up a fuss a little bit, like, these cowboys, and when Dr. Mike's all like, who are these guys? And they, like, pan over to them, and they're, like, unloading a wagon or something, and the one dude, if you're watching along at home, he, like, totally just throws its sack, like, on this guy's head. Like, it's just, like, the weirdest thing.
And just, like, goes boom.
Yeah, it's just so weird.
All this weird stuff from season one. So, yeah, he goes on.
Anything old Boz can do for you, just name it here.
I should have been looking where it's going. I hope I'm not hurting you, Mr. Boz.
No, ma'am.
Sully, this may take a while.
You're just cooking my arm. Exactly.
Sully, this is going to take a while. Can you go pick up the Subway's order? Do something useful for today, maybe.
Make sure they put enough olives on it.
We have that Michael Landis.
I have to clip that.
Don't ever.
Today. I'll go. It's just changing Silver's bandage.
Well, are you sure you feel up to it?
Yes. I mean, I want to help. Please.
So we see, like, she has kind of, like, gaga eyes. I think that's, is that a term? She has, like, sheep eyes, even.
She, like, looks over to Sully and starts hearing air.
Yeah, she's... It's like... Yeah, it's like, that's all she can think about when... Sexy boy Sully. And, yeah, she's just enamored, and she has a little bit of a crush that comes out of nowhere, right?
I mean, I guess because, like, the idea was planted because she was reading that story, and then he, like, almost saved her life. So
yeah, it's kind of
crazy. Of course it follows that. Okay, so here's the thing with my thing with this episode, and I do think it's super cringy. Like, the whole time I'm like, oh my gosh, Colleen, this is, like, so cringy.
The rubbing?
Okay, whatever. It's I would say it's normal, right? Like, she's, like, a teenage girl. And she's, like, attracted to this guy who's, like, I mean, obviously older than her. I mean, he's an adult, but, like, I don't mean, what is he, like, 30 or, I don't know. Like, how old is Sully? Like, he's maybe around Michaela's age. But I've heard people say he's, like, a little bit younger, but I'm not sure, like, what the hard proof is.
Let's say he's mid-30s.
So, well, I mean, like, let's just say he's, because she just turned 35. So mm-hmm. he's, like, 32, 35. Okay. No older than that. But anyway, yeah. So he's, like, you know, this, like, he's young, but, like, an adult, you know.
Yeah, he's a man. He's a man, and she's a girl.
Right. But, I mean, like, I would say, like, okay, not unusual to be, to have, like, this crush on, you know, this adult guy. But she, like, really...
She's really painting a picture of, like,
I'm takes going it to, so, yeah. like, seriously... And it's kind of weird because it almost seems just, like, overly naive. Like, it's one thing to, like, have this crush on this adult man, which I would classify as normal.
Mm-hmm.
But she seems to, like, really believe that, like, he loves her and, like, they're going to get married and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, I'm going to hide. He's going to find me and we're going to
and,
have that
and
moment.
And then that part of it. Like, it seems like she's, I know she's young, but she seems like she's not so young that she would be that naive.
Well, I also think that some of the ways that Sully is with her, like rubbing her shoulder and things like
he's
that.
He's like a little chummy, which of course he's not thinking that she would like be reading into it like that, but.
But at the same time, is who is Sully in the big picture, right?
Well, I mean, we're still in the first season. He hasn't known the kids for that long, right?
He's the homeless guy who lives in town, you know? You know, he's been around forever. He's known her since she was a baby, I'm sure. So I guess it's okay.
I don't know, though. No, I don't think he's known her since she was a baby because...
No? Right.
Well, what year is this? It's like 67.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we have conflicting information about the year that he came there, but did he come in like 57 or 59 for mining?
You know, I don't remember.
And then as far as like how old she is, so I'm a little, okay, so like first season when her mother, Michaela's mother, comes to visit and Colleen gets her period and they say that she's 13.
Mm-hmm.
But then in this episode, when she's like talking to her little friends and they're like, oh yeah, are you going to get married? And then they're like, Sully's wife is only 3 years older than you. But just the episode before this, Rite of Passage, Sully says that Abigail was 18 when they got married. So like 18 minus three, she's 15 now. Like, I mean, how old is she? I think with the way that she is and the way that she's acting, 13 seems like it fits better. But that seems like a little bit inconsistent.
I don't think that Erica Flores was 15. I would imagine she's 13, 14 in this.
Right. Which, I mean, her actual age doesn't necessarily have to match up with what she is on the screen.
No, of course.
But I think that she does not seem like she's 15.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And there are later episodes where she shows so much more maturity than this.
Right.
She's like certain, she's just being kind of naive, you know, in a weird way.
Right.
Puppy love. I don't know.
Love.
It just seems to me, pup love.
Pup love.
Pup, R.I.P.
Yeah, Sully, who is he at this point? He's just the guy who brings puppies to the kids without asking Michaela's permission.
Right, and he wears like dirty feathers.
Here's a dog.
Here, eat this tree bark tea. You know, like this is what his job is. Yeah. He's always walking around with like mayonnaise on his face from eating too much Subway.
Yeah. Like when he has like the stubble of his beard, it kind of has like a little oil in it from the sandwich.
Wolf is always digging through the wrapper.
If he's like my dogs, he's probably like shredding the wrapper.
Oh my god, my dogs do that. They
it's crazy.
Because my kid doesn't, for whatever reason, he doesn't throw away anything. Like if he gets like a burger or something and it has a wrapper, he'll just like leave it somewhere, and the dogs, you know, sniff it out and they shred it into a million pieces.
Yep, I've been there.
Yikes. Then I hear them doing it, and I yell, and they just stop.
Yeah.
We'll continue this later.
Yeah. Man, if you're like, okay, like, so my dogs, if they start shredding something, and if I try to grab it, like, they don't stop. They, like, double down. They pull a Michaela. They double down. And then if I try to grab it.
They have to do it quicker.
They'll probably do it quicker, or they'll try to, like, run away, and then they'll go, like, hide under the bed with it.
Are they like obsessive compulsive with them?
They're just like, I need it. I need it.
It's mine.
Get your own.
Yeah, they're like,
where is the devil woman?
That's what your dogs. That's what your dogs are yelling.
Yeah, that's what
at
they
you.
Think of me when I'm trying to come grab their wrappers.
Yeah, exactly.
Where is the devil woman?
So speaking of Hank. We have a Myra who's wearing, her shoulders are showing, and I like this Myra. I hate saying that I like Myra when she was working with Hank or at Hank's, but I don't know. There was something about the character I thought that was so much sweeter. Although we've discussed this numerous times, when she goes to work for Preston, I also really like her.
Yeah, I think she does
that interim
well
period. I don't
in
like
a working capacity.
Yeah. So here we go. Hank is coming, storming in, drinking the something, and like some rot good. to ease his stomach.
He has a whole bottle with him, too.
Yeah.
You trying to kill me?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about as he poisoned me with that rotten, sloppy coal ash!
Better watch what you say.
Oh, I better watch where I eat is what I better do. I sit right after breakfast here.
And he's like, everybody who's online to get their Subway Heroes is looking at him. Picture this all happening in a subway.
Yeah.
Is anyone else here?
And Michaela's a couple of thoughts before we like continue here. So Grace, I have to say, in this episode looks really good.
Yeah,
the shirt that she's wearing in this particular scene, I'm not totally a fan of the shirt. It's a little too flouncy for my taste.
It's a bit big, right? It's a bit much.
But she has some dresses that I'll point out as we come to them later on. That I'm like, these are some like nice looking dresses on her, and she has some really nice hairstyles too. Yeah. Like this is like a really fabulous Grace episode. Like she looks great. Mm-hmm. And I think that her character like is totally on point. I think that we have some really excellent acting going on in this episode. And I actually recently, so I will admit that this is like not my favorite episode.
Really?
Probably because I think the whole like storyline is pretty cringy with Colleen. And I'm just kind of like, it's never really been a favorite of mine, so it's not really one that I seek out to watch necessarily, you know, on my own or whatever. But then I was just like, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, watching it on Prime, and it kind of like, I just sort of let it play, and then it comes on, and then I watch it. And then I was kind of like, I haven't watched this one a lot lately, and I almost forgot that there was this whole like Grace and Hank storyline. Which actually I think is kind of an interesting storyline. So I'm like, you know, the thing with Colleen I think is kind of cringy, but I'm like, this whole storyline I actually kind of like. So then I'm like, the episode overall I think is a little bit better than I, you know, remembered it being when you kind of factor in the other stuff at play here. But it's a really great Grace episode. Hank, I think that, you know, we love Hank, but I think we can agree that he's like, this is like a low point for his character. You know, one of a few really low points that we see him get at in the series.
When we spoke to Beth, didn't Beth say that she modeled Hank after her father?
She did, yes.
I mean, and this would probably be, and, you know, this, of course, is not a jab at, you know, Beth or her father. But I would imagine that season one would be the most accurate depiction if you're writing the character from that point. Because, you know, Hank develops, of course. He becomes this character we all kind of love. He becomes far less racist and angry. I mean, always angry, but far less racist. And in this episode in particular, yeah, he's cringy. He's almost as cringy as Sully rubbing Colleen's shoulder.
Yeah.
A little bit. I also think that with Grace, I don't like this top either. I think it's ill-fitting, but I like seeing her in light colors, like in the white. Mm-hmm. I think she looks really good in it. And her hairstyle, although it looks really great, it just brings so much sadness to me to remember the episode where they cut her hair off.
I know. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's very sad.
Which is just a tragic, just heartbreaking scene. Whole episode is just heartbreaking. But nonetheless, here we go. But let's forget that, Hank. And... we're in the middle of Subway, remember.
Is anyone else feeling sick?
Taking your life in your own hands, you hear?
Now you just wait a minute.
It sounds like it could be at a Subway.
That's what I mean, like, you know, it's her independently owned Subway.
Yeah, it's like anyone else feeling sick? Take your life in your own hands.
Right.
You don't know what he's saying.
Hank, why don't you let me take a look at you?
I need you to tell me I'm sick as a dog. It's probably what he fed me. Dirty hands off me, boy.
So, yeah, he's not feeling so hot. And Myra's just there, just nursing him in a way. Like, just she's just there. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Her shawl is
weird. Yeah, we have a couple
weird.
Of weird Myra things here. Like the one I point out later where she's apparently, like, eating lunch with...
with Lauren
with
and
Jake. And Lauren. And Horace is like at the cafe.
It's so
at
weird.
A different table.
Right.
It's just so odd.
Like, is this the girlfriend experience?
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, right. You pay like half price. You get to take her to lunch or right. something.
Yeah, she gets a free meal. She makes a few bucks. You know, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Have a nice talk.
It's very bizarre.
She has a weird shawl on. It's kind of like made of straw or something.
Oh, you know the other thing I was going to say? Because like Miss Olive is in this scene. So Miss Olive, it's so weird with her character. I like the character. I mean, like she, I think, is not always a nice person, especially at the beginning. With Dr. Mike and the, you know, having the kids and stuff. And she resented that.
Mm-hmm.
But her and Dr. Mike do actually kind of like grow to be like kind of almost on friendly terms. And I do kind of like the character of Miss Olive. And then of course, then when she, you know, was gone and we kind of get Dorothy, who's like sort of kind of a replacement, but like, although like Dorothy and Dr. Mike are apparently like best friends, you know, that's kind of like how they're portrayed. And mm-hmm. she wasn't like, you know, best friend status with Miss Olive, but I feel like when she's gone, Miss Olive, that is, I don't ever miss her. And yet like, I like her character when it's there. It's weird.
I'm kind of indifferent with her.
Yeah.
I don't like her. I don't dislike her. I just don't.
Yeah, it's weird though, because it's like I like her character, and yet like I don't miss her when she's gone.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's not like, you know, Wolf. You know, it's more like
right.
Pup.
Yeah, it's not like Wolf, who like, where is he right now?
Yeah, it's more like Pup. You know, it's kind of like once he's gone, yeah.
Pup disappears for 3 seasons.
See ya, Pup. What should I play next?
So
there's a lot of like this just it's a lot of visuals in this whole episode.
It's a lot of visual. I mean, we can probably just sort of gloss over. They go to the reservation, you know, she changes the bandage. There's
like Snowbird.
A wind that comes off the ridge, and then Sully like, you know, gives his what do you call that thing?
What the, ow ow. I don't know what that is.
Oh, I was like, ow ow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking, I'm like, I just wasn't getting it.
Yeah, his, what do you call that thing though? Like, it's like a poncho or something? Or like, is it just a blanket? He puts it around her shoulders and then she's all like, let's share it. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, it was like, when
she's all like, ah, I'm in love.
When she leans, there's two things that they should have done, in my opinion, to kind of cement her feelings for Sully. And one is when she leans her head on him to say, I can hear your heart, you know, that type of thing, or to use the stethoscope to hear his heart and say, do you want to hear mine? You know, and like have this kind of back and forth that's slightly inappropriate.
And then Sully would be like, she like whistled the stethoscope, I can hear your heart. You're a little nerd, aren't you?
She goes to listen to him and he belches. Sorry, I had too many onions on my ear.
or like she like pulls out the stethoscope and is like gonna listen to his heart, but then like Wolf comes up and snatches it, like runs off with it.
Wolf, no. Nothing's gonna stop him now. And we get to see Wolf in full
we can
trot.
Probably skip to so like then they ride back into town. And then, like, Colleen's friends are all like, oh, look, they're, like, in love. And Luce is all, like, jealous. So mm-hmm. we can probably go to, like, 1040 when they're planning her wedding to Sully, basically.
Which is weird, but it's, you know what? I would imagine that people talk this way. I mean, it's like a dream. You know, it's just kind of fantasizing. It's there's no harm
yeah,
in that.
Yeah, and I mean, they're all, like, you know, they're, like, I would say that, you know, like, yeah, kids, you know.
Kids are being kids, yeah.
You know, yeah, like, you know, do stuff like this. But.
So when do you think Sully will ask you?
Ask me what?
To marry you, of course.
You know, his wife is only 3 years older than you when they got married.
She was, wasn't she?
You want to hear the story or not?
I still don't like Alice. That's her name, right?
Yeah, and they're like friends, kind of, in this episode, which is interesting.
And Missy is the Four Eyes, right?
I think so, yeah.
I love calling people four eyes when I wear glasses. And you wear glasses.
Oh, did I ever tell you about that time when, Little House reference, so we were on one of our long road trips and, like, binge listening to Walnut Grove cast, woo-hoo! Which, listeners, if you love Little House and haven't already, listen to it. Mark's other podcast.
Thank
Little
you.
House very, very yes. good time. But the we were listening to, like, you know, binge listen of it like we do on long drives, and the Four Eyes review mm-hmm. we're listening to, and then there was a car right in front of us with a personalized plate that said Four Eyes. Four Eyes.
Get out of here.
I was like, holy shit. I was just like, this is like the craziest thing. I like was like
that is crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, and I was just like, should I take a picture of that? I'm like, wait, but the picture's not going to capture the moment. Like, it's just going to be like a picture of a thing that says Four Eyes.
Yeah.
It's like, but we're listening to Four Eyes right now.
But it's one of those things that it's impossible to duplicate that moment.
Right, yeah.
And it would be great if the person had, like, Little House on the Prairie stickers and stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like, and actually, like, they had, like, Four Eyes because it's, like, their favorite episode or something. Right.
That's kind of funny. It's right up there with Ass Man from Seinfeld.
Maybe... Ass Blaster? No, Ass Blaster. You're talking about Ass Blaster. Yeah. You're Cosmo Kramer. You are the Ass Man.
Yeah. It'd be funny if he was an eye doctor, you know, Four Eyes.
Yeah. Four Eyes. So, yeah, there. That's like his like ringtone. Four Eyes.
Put it in a log.
Carolina's gaze swept over the bleak surroundings of the abandoned mine.
Speaking of the Ingalls, I'm just thinking about this. I think I really want to add up the amount of money that the Ingalls might have spent on Laura versus Mary. I think they spent far more on Mary and her illnesses.
Well, right, because we had, like, multiple visits to the eye doctor, multiple...
When she got kicked by the horse, glasses, you know?
I mean, I'm assuming there's some sort of tuition with the blind school, right?
There had to have been, at least at first, before she, like, hooked up with, you know, one of the partners.
Right.
I don't know. We need a little bit of a graph. That'd be nice.
She prayed.
People are like, stop talking about Little House. Get back to the real stuff. Dr. Quinn.
If Colt would find her hastily scribbled missive in time.
She's so brave.
Carolina knew Colt would not rest.
Oh, which, by the way, those birds, it sounds like it's spring, which this was airing, like, it was the spring, but let us remember, she's like, on the verge of frostbite.
Yeah, like, there's a lot. I just looked up how to get frostbite, and it's any temperature that's below freezing. So I guess if it were to drop to, like, 29 degrees or something Fahrenheit, it would technically give you frostbite. I just don't buy it.
I mean, like, I guess I always pictured it as, like, you'd have to, it'd have to be, like, really cold. But, I mean, I suppose if you're, like, for an entire night, I don't know. But then she has, like, a shawl thing. She could, like, probably wrap her hands in that, right? It'd be, right. like, wearing gloves. I don't know.
Put your hands in your dress or something, you know? Like,
yeah, right?
Keep them close to your body. So, I don't
put
know.
Put them under your armpits.
Yeah, do that's what I would do.
So you know what I'm talking about when Andrew walks on the, like, street yeah. with his
yeah. he's always with doing
his
that
like, under his arm. It's like
he's hugging himself.
Yep.
And we have Lewis in the background just kind of watching on as they're reading
his one true
and you hear
love.
This in the background,
the one that made him forget all the others. I bet when Colt does find her, he'll ask her to marry him on the spot.
I'll be so afraid to lose her again.
If Colt finds her,
we'll keep reading.
So.
You look really closely, and Lewis actually has little, like, earbuds in.
Colt, her note read. I'm in dire need of your assistance, as I've been taken against my will to the abandoned mine in the high country.
And she gets an idea. And this is weird. She sees Lewis. We think, anyway, that she sees Lewis, and he, like, turns away. It's like, obviously you're watching them. Like, what else are you doing?
Yeah, well, she's very aware that you're there.
I don't like the fact that she kind of, for the most part, ignores him. I don't like that. I mean, I guess if you're compare him to Sully, I mean, it's a man versus a boy.
Right.
I liked how you referenced getting rid of Dr. Mike as competition.
Yeah, because she's all like, she basically asks Dr. Mike if she's in love with Sully, and Dr. Mike gets really flustered, which, yeah, for context, 2 episodes ago was her birthday when Sully kissed her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you in love with Sully?
Pardon me?
Well, I mean, you've never really said straight out how you feel about him.
Well, that isn't something a lady talks about.
How do you know? You're the most inexperienced woman in the country.
She's like, well, quite frankly, I find him irritating. She just goes on some rant. Like, he doesn't even live in a house.
I find him disgusting, as a matter of fact.
Has he ever washed his shirt?
He washes with a dog.
His most redeeming quality is his hair. But other than that...
But that's it.
Right? I do love him. But as a friend.
And that's all?
Yes, I suppose we're just friends. And that's what I imagine we'll remain.
You're sure? Sure is.
Yep. She's very sure.
Sure did.
Sure did. You gotta throw that in. Because everybody loves sure did.
She sure did.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a winner.
I mean, I would think like all-time favorite. We have sure did. Twig is bent is another classic.
When the twig is bent, it can never grow straight.
Thank you. Thank you, Jake.
Those words of wisdom.
I want a fortune cookie with them all with...
When the twig is bent, it can never grow straight.
You know? It would just be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say sure did. Twig is bent.
How about you shut up is another good one.
Yeah, and I don't have that queued up. I don't have that prepped. One of my three favorites are...
Reverend.
Dr. Mike!
That's my new favorite. But yeah, that looks good.
that's a good one. That looks good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Sure did. Which clips do you like as a listener? So if you hear a clip, we'd love to hear from you. We want to know what little moments you think should kind of make its way into being repeated ad nauseum.
Yes. Your favorite funny lines.
Yeah, like I would love to hear the funny lines that people like. Hank comes into the store and we have another dramatic Hank moment. And yeah, this one's, it's pretty bad.
Bryce, take the whole boat. Just take the whole.
And Hank looks like crap. Holy
dude,
cow.
He looks like he has the flu or something.
Yeah, he looks pretty bad.
All right.
Poison anybody else lately?
It'll serve you right. The way you've been poisoning people's minds with your filthy lies.
Graves.
Lots of people ate my hash. Nobody else got sick.
Well, maybe you whipped up something special just for me. Maybe you're some kind of darky witch.
And maybe you're some kind of... I think that's quite enough.
So do I.
The Reverend.
It's yeah, just... good job, Rob. Yeah, that's like, this whole scene is crazy. Like, the darky witch thing.
Yeah, that's like, crazy.
Coughing. You're just like, oh my gosh.
Lauren looks like he's falling asleep back there.
He's like, another Tuesday.
Oh God, Hank's back. All right, what's the drama today? So, Colleen, do you want to describe what Colleen ends up doing? She decides to... to lure Sully. Didn't she get like
wait,
three?
Hold
subway-
on, though. In the store scene, though, I think that you should go and play Grace's thing or her like one line about like it might do a lot of good because I love that line from her. I think she like plays it so well.
Right, hold on here.
I think it's time we set aside our differences.
Well, not by my watch, it ain't.
Angry time.
What?
Hank Fried time.
You call saying I'm a darky witch differences?
Now, Grace.
Grace, the Reverend is saying that there's no point in provoking any more hostility.
That's right. Wouldn't do any good.
Well, it might do a lot of good. If somebody had the gumption to stand up to him.
So what's your thought here? Because I have a certain take on the way I think that Robert E. should have dealt with this from a modern perspective and from an 1869 perception. What?
So I think that given their, like, you know, 67, 68, 69, mm-hmm. whatever year, I think first season, so I suppose 67, 68. I kind of understand why he wouldn't just be like champing at the bit to just like,
Robert
really get involved, you know, or like to really say something. Mm-hmm. Just kind of given like the time frame that we're in and kind of like the situation. Hank seems like he's a little bit deranged. So, mm-hmm. I mean, like, I could kind of understand some hesitation and really wanting to. I mean, because he's like ill and also like drunk. So, I mean, like, it kind of is like a bad combination. And also, like, Robert E. Robert E. and he's in some respects, I mean, because he's like a member of the town, but he's not at the same time, you know,
right.
just because he's black, you know, like he's a blacksmith and he works in the town and everything, but he's not really like, you know, really fully a member of the town.
He's not even allowed to buy property at this point.
Right. I could kind of get why. I mean, I don't think that like he's holding back because he doesn't want to say something. I mean, I think this does really bother him both like on Grace's behalf and also just like in general, you know, the sort of treatment
mm-hmm.
Is bothersome to him. But Grace is very upset that he's not just kind of, and it, even like in the end of this scene, she kind of like, when she brushes past him and kind of like runs into him a little bit in this way that seems very like intentional, to kind of like almost be like a wake up call to Robert E. But I think that, he does come around, you know,
he does.
I think that he just kind of needs to, I guess what I'm saying is like, I understand why his first reaction is not to just like jump in and like, you know, start swinging at Hank or whatever.
You know, if I had to say, if I had to really analyze this scene from, you know, an ex-slave point of view, I would think that, you know, at this point, Robert E. is really kind of a beaten man, partially.
Yeah.
You know, he's really genuinely choosing his battles because we later learn that, you know, he does have a murder, you know, under his belt, or a killing at least.
Right.
He has a lot of reasons to not get attention. So putting
that's
it into
true.
Perspective like that, I'm thinking, okay, you know, it's a good move to not take a swing at the guy who's going to make a lot of noise if you do.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then there's also the perspective where it's like Robert E. like runs a business in town, which granted, like his business is one. I mean, it's like a gas station. Like people are going to use it because they need it. Right. They need mm-hmm. a blacksmith.
Yeah.
But you probably don't want to, as we see with Grace's Cafe, have one of the leading businessmen in town, which would be Hank, turning everybody against you.
Right.
I mean, like, that is maybe kind of a factor, too.
I would say that Hank is probably the biggest, next to the mercantile, the biggest draw to the town.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like that is the social scene of the town. There's that and there's the mob. And they're like very closely connected.
The mob. They're just like a roving mob.
Yeah.
They are. You know, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah. I love the mob.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have a big mouth. So I'm one of these people who I'm always opening up my mouth when people have something to say. But I guess as I get older, I become more selective about getting into, you know, any type of altercation with someone.
Yeah.
He made the smarter choice, you know. But you want to see him take, you know, a swing at Hank as
a viewer. It's like, we'd like to see him, you know, really like stick up for Grace and, you know, kind of take a stand in the situation.
That's Sully's job.
We're still kind of all like early on in the whole thing, and it's just like, man, what is going on with Hank? And mm-hmm. I mean, he's like, I'm sure intoxicated. I mean, he was like wandering into the cafe with like carrying the bottle and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that that would be like ever any sort of an excuse or anything, but it's like we have like a wasted Hank just like sort of, you know, being a little bit obscene, making a scene and everything.
So in this next scene, we have Colleen. She went and picked up 3 of Sully's favorite sandwiches. And she's just gonna like let the wind bring him to her. It's pretty much all visual, but she finds an abandoned mine. Is it a lean-to? I'm not really sure what this is.
I don't know. It seems like some kind of it's some kind of structure.
There's like a mine, like the entrance to a mine.
Yeah, and there's like that crate thing that she's sitting on.
Yeah, it's kind of just left there. Kind of weird and dingy, right? I also would imagine that if it is a mine, that it might not get as cold in there, like right away. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I would just imagine being that it's in the earth, it wouldn't get as cold as quickly as if you were just out in the elements.
Right. That's a good point.
But then again, maybe it was already cold in there. I guess that's possible. But yeah, this storm comes out of nowhere. We get see some really, really crazy effects, and it remind me of the Dementors from Harry Potter. Like, they really do. It's like, what is this?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty wacky.
The mine is covered with like green grass. You know, it's supposed to be like freezing temperatures. But it's some type of, what do they call that? There's like a new term that newscasters use for weather, like the Arctic blast or something like that. There's like a term.
Right, you know what I know what you're talking about.
The polar vortex. It's the polar vortex.
Polar vortex, right, yeah.
The polar vortex. So technical.
No, I think it used to be Arctic blast, and now it's polar vortex.
Nice. I like Arctic blast.
I haven't heard Arctic blast for a while. Maybe some people still use it, but yeah, it's always like polar vortex this, polar vortex that.
Arctic blaster. It reminds me of blaster.
right, doesn't it? Of course, where I live, when there's like the Arctic blast.
Oh yeah, you don't have like, Arctic blast. Oh, like 50.
It's 35 degrees.
Yeah, it's like 50 degrees, you know? It's
like, Arctic blast.
Like right now, it's 35 degrees here.
I don't like this here. Yeah. I think it's probably, let me check my thing. Okay, my phone says it's 50 right now. It's pretty chilly. That is a polar vortex.
Sure is. I think sure is easier to use than
sure did.
But sure did is more fun because it's math.
But since sure did, I've been hearing like in Dr. Quinn and Little House, people say like sure does, sure is, sure don't, like all the time. People are just like slapping that sure on there.
It just leaps out at you now. It finds us. So here we're in the homestead. I don't know why Matthew's not out looking for Colleen. I don't know. Do they explain what this weather anomaly is? Like this thing that just kind of showed up?
No, it's just apparently some kind of like cold front that came through.
So here they go.
Tell me again, where exactly did she say she was going?
She didn't say exactly. Just up to the creek. She said she'd be back before supper.
That storm must have caught her by surprise.
What was she wearing?
Just a shawl.
You're almost like waiting for like Matthew to be like, but we already ate supper.
Do we have to wait till she gets back to have dessert? Can I have her pie? Can we split her pie?
You see like a bunch of like the Subway wrappers like littered around, like, but we already ate all the Subway.
I'm gonna go look for her.
Colleen.
Sully.
I came to check. Windstorm blowing down off the front range. It's going to drop the temperature down quick.
I didn't notice this before, but...
that's what it was. Did he say it was a windstorm? Rainstorm? Yeah.
I just noticed that Wolf came in at the same time as Sully. He came in ahead of him. Like when
he's
he opens
like,
the door.
I got this.
He's like, I'm going to go stand by the fire.
I'm going to go get the wrappers.
Rip, 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 rip.
He starts...
Yeah. No way.
Colleen's not home yet.
What?
Where is she?
She's out there somewhere.
We think she may have gone to the creek. All right. It'll be all right. I'll find her.
Matthew, you stay here with Brian. I'm going with Sully.
So it's just funny because we don't see it on the thing, but he has the Chateau band with him. And they're going to go and like do a search and play the music as they're hunting for Colleen. And it's just...
Please, let me go with you. We should get the horses.
No horses. I'll just slow
Which,
us down.
By the way, the Chateau band is used to playing in weather events.
Yeah. They're really good with it.
Up there.
They're unfazed by the weather.
Except the tuba player.
Duty calls.
The tuba player
sacred duty.
The tuba player gets a little nervous, though, because in the lightning storms, because he's such a big target.
Yeah.
So Dr. Mike goes and... looks for Colleen.
Wait, who goes?
Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike!
That's it. Dr. Mike! They're trying to get the scent. They have Wolf with them, who's pretty much going to save the day. We have Sully, who has a torch. Like, what is this? I don't think I've ever seen him carry a torch before.
It's so funny, because he's wearing his, like, poncho. It, like, almost looks like a robe, and then he has, like, this torch.
Like, this is my sleeping clothes.
No, he looks like he seriously looks like he's some like shaman or something. Like,
he totally does.
Around.
And you can hear him whispering to Michaela, he's like, "You think I could stay in the house tonight? Because it's pretty cold out here." And she's like, "We'll talk, we'll see." We don't know. So, yeah, they're just kind of walking and everything. And let's see. Colleen wakes up and she has frostbite, and it is possible. I guess I did look it up, but her conditions would have to be really, really extreme. You know, put them in between your legs or something. That sounds gross, but you put it anywhere where you can find like some warmth. You know,
yeah, like
in your armpits,
like your legs, your armpits.
Yeah,
like I don't know. Super
we've all had
dress.
Cold. We've all had cold hands. You're rubbing
yeah.
together,
right?
Colleen was in Girl Scouts. Build a fire.
She's surrounded by wood. I mean, I almost can't believe that she was sleeping that solid. Like, if it was so cold that she's that uncomfortable,
yeah,
that she would even, like, get any sleep. Like, because I wouldn't. Like, if I'm cold, I can't sleep. So I'd probably be up all night just, like,
hypothermia.
Yeah, rubbing my hands together or whatever.
Maybe it's hypothermia.
Mm.
Possible. Meanwhile, yeah. Back at the telegraph office where everyone is, it's the next day, and everybody's like, oh, it's pretty nice out today. Right? Everyone's just like casual.
Like a nice crisp morning.
Yeah.
What's the matter, son?
I can't deliver this letter.
Well, you got to try harder.
First of all, I'm not your son.
First of all, Pops. In the background, it says wanted Bell Gang for a holdup.
The Bell Star Gang.
It doesn't say the Bell Star Gang, but it says B-E-L-L, but she goes with B-E-L-L-E. I wonder if that was like, you know, supposed to be the same gang. I don't know.
It was an early rendition.
Maybe.
Duty to deliver the mail.
I have to go back. Duty. I have to hear. You took it out.
What's the matter, son?
I can't deliver this letter.
Well, you got to try harder. It's our sacred duty to deliver the mail. Now, who's it for?
Sully. I've looked everywhere for him.
Nobody finds Sully. Sully finds you. He'll be in for long.
What does that even mean?
So Sully bizarre. Finds you.
Sully finds you.
Also, it's like their sacred duty. This kid took the oath. I don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't believe it at all. And I'm wondering, does the oath have a line about Sully, where he finds you? Mountain men find you.
And is there some like clause, like if Sully doesn't find you after this many days have passed?
You have to call for a wolf.
Yeah. You have to, send a telegram to the nearest oath mediator.
The oath mediator. Hello, this is the Chicago Oath Mediation Services. They're all named Horace. So the next morning, I mean, I'm imagining they left the last night around 9, right? Not too late. Brian's still up. I mean,
it would have been like shortly after dinner, I suppose.
So 9 is even pushing it. So here it is the next morning, and they're still looking. No frostbite.
Yeah, well, they've been walking the whole time, so they're fine.
Yeah, it's true.
Colleen just needs to go for a run.
Colleen, where are you?
Colleen!
Oh, the music is pretty crazy. I didn't really notice that before.
Yeah, me either.
You all right? Sit down and rest a minute.
She's out there somewhere alone, Cole. She could be hurt. She could be...
She's
just a little girl.
No, she's not. She's grown up.
She's my smart. Girlfriend. She's
a... I was just thinking that. It's like she's a beautiful young lady now. Maybe this is a really...
She's not as young as you think.
Michaela, maybe this is a bad time to bring this up. But I love her. I love her so much.
Her whole life. She knows where to go, where to find shelter.
You're right.
She's beautiful, and I just love her lips. <It's terrible.
laughs> Creepy.
Yeah, I can totally see him doing that. No, not really. How dare you, Kelly?
See, there's a first time for everything.
That's kind of a funny line right there.
That's clip worthy.
I'm sorry, I paused on such a funny freeze frame of him where he looks terrible.
He's got a scent.
Where is he?
You go that way. Go.
Was that Wolf? That was pretty crazy.
Oh, I mean, I heard that earlier and I wonder that too. Because like when he says he got a scent and then you hear a woo.
That's his like, I got a scent sound. I just added this picture.
That's what the beagles do when they get a scent.
If you look at this picture, I just added... I think it's kind of funny.
Dude, his hair looks awful.
Yeah, he just looks like he's been walking all night.
He looks like he has just been mildly electrocuted.
So the next, it's not cold. It's not so cold that Grace can't work outside the next day.
That's so true. And then I will say that in this scene, this is one of the dresses I really like. Her hair looks like really good.
Yeah, I think in general. I mean, we already said it, but in general, she looks really great in this whole episode.
Yeah, like this just like is primo. Like her hair is like super styled. It looks really awesome. I love the dress on her.
Before all the boozing, but she was still grumpy.
Like a table.
Got plenty of them.
We'll turn around, Grace, I promise.
People are going to eventually get hungry because there's nowhere else to eat. Right?
Where do you think the single men are going to go eat?
Right, exactly.
You think Jake's going to cook at home? I don't think so.
Half the town doesn't believe. Jake doesn't even have a kitchen.
Yeah, right. Keep your promises.
He's going to get sick of jerky sometime.
What?
You once promised you'd never send me away again.
I ain't sending you away.
Oh, no? Isn't that what you're doing right now? Letting them run me out of town like this without a fight?
Think I didn't want to fight. You think it didn't take every ounce of strength in my body not to lay Hank out flat when he talked to you that way?
Then why didn't you?
Because there would be hell to pay for it.
So you just give in.
I thought you were the slave brave enough to run away.
That's right. I did run away. Now, I picked that fight, but I'm not picking this one. Not with you in the middle, Grace. I ain't gonna let nothing happen to you like that.
Is that Wolf?
Yeah, I was waiting to point that out for you. I was about to put a screenshot in our notes. It is adorable, the transition. You might even want to back up and see. You what? See him standing at the, like, yeah, mouth of the cave howling, and it is so cute.
Yeah, I'm at 2308.
Yeah, I'm at, like, 2307. He's, like, just starting to howl, and it's, like, so adorable.
Yeah, he's like, there's Sully. There he is. I don't think that was his bark. And it looks as though the entrance to this whole thing collapsed, which I didn't notice before.
Yeah, I guess because, like, the wind and everything.
Well, it looks like a tree branch.
Or maybe
fell
got
on
struck
it
by lightning or hit by a tree or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it looks like a tree fell on it. Hmm. So he goes in, finds Colleen, and just starts screaming.
Dr. Mike!
You know.
Yeah, Wolf was, like, howling when he found it, and then he goes in, and he, like, walks up and kind of smiles. They're like, yep, this is it.
Yeah. And she wakes up, and her hands are all red and gross, and it just looks painful.
Colleen.
Wolf's like, I'll lick your hands. It would probably be good for our hands, I would imagine. Like, a nice, nice dog. Yeah.
She doesn't have any pepperoni.
Frostbite.
Your hands are starting to smell like pepperoni.
Oh, gross.
I would imagine. Ugh. Things like frostbite freak me out. I don't know how you feel about that. And because when I did look it up, it started bringing up all these images. I do not recommend going and Googling it. But some terrible, terrible stuff when your tissue basically dies. And it's just terrible.
What happened?
The wind was so cold, she was in the mountains.
She'd been out there all night?
Is there anything I can do? Do you have any room where we're so cold? Colleen!
The mob is, like, gathering. They're out walking the mob.
And Wolf's like, I got this guy. See you later.
He's like,
where did he go? He just kind of, like, was in front of him and, like, disappears.
Yeah, he's like, you got any wrappers?
No. Sully, put her on the table.
You know when you're out in the cold and your hands get really cold? Well, yeah, I mean, you've lived in cold, much colder climates, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get your hands really cold, or maybe you're, like, throwing snow and all this kind of stuff, and you don't feel it. Then when you go in, your hands get kind of, like, hot and itchy.
It's, like, super painful.
Yeah. And I always think that's frostbite, but I don't think it is. But I imagine, like, you go through that when you have frostbite, like, where right, your hands are, like, thawing out.
Well, and they
out
talk about that later on, how her hands hurt a lot, and yeah, they're like, oh, that's a good sign. It means that, like, the nerves aren't damaged.
Jake!
I know what to do for this.
Now, I feel like Jake does know what to do in this, but they want nothing to do with him.
Reverend, would you start a fire, please?
No, that'll take too long. You need to heat her up quicker than that. You ought to be rubbing.
Actually, Jake, we're starting to believe that it's better to warm them up more slowly so as not to shock the tissues.
We? Who's this we?
We doctors.
Oh, we doctors, huh?
What?
We doctors.
I've seen more frostbite than all you...
I didn't notice how funny that sounded. Oh, we doctors, huh? Also, you
it's
have
really funny. In the what back, we barbers believe.
In barber college. if you look outside, you have Horace and Lewis looking in through the window.
I know, and, like, Lewis is, like, he's, like, really concerned. He was grasping the window and everything.
He's
like
breathing on the window and drawing a heart.
Yeah. You doctors put together, and I'm here to check.
Colleen, you're going to be all right.
Dr. Mike!
Just Dr. Mike! Start rubbing her fingers. That'll keep the gangrene off.
Come on, Jake. Let's go get some more firewood.
Right.
I have to agree with him, kind of. I would imagine, like, rubbing it would create like help with circulation and stuff.
And well, stuff. What do they doctors say nowadays?
Well, them doctors, they don't say anything. I didn't look up how to treat it. Probably exactly. I'm gonna look it up right now.
Ms. Olive told me what happened. I thought to bring some food over. Just going to waste at my place.
Thank you, Grace. Would you put it over there?
Oh, Olive.
Fill this with water and then find another one for us.
Here. Colleen, put your hands in here.
Sounds like Wolf whimpering.
It kind of does.
It hurts. Okay. So they give her the treatment. And it is funny, you point out when Reverend says, like, she was out there all night. It's it really kind of is in the same vein as, that looks good, which I do not have to.
That looks good.
I do think it would have been kind of interesting if Dr. Mike would say, how did the Cheyenne treat frostbite? Because there probably is a type of method that they use, right?
Well, I mean, if she got it from being in that thing overnight, I'm sure that the Cheyenne have been at risk for it.
I don't know. I was saying that I think Sully would just say, I'll get my axe. Because maybe that's what the Cheyenne do. They don't have a cure.
Let's see. According to Very Well Health, mm-hmm. you are supposed to soak it in warm water, which is what Dr. Mike was doing.
But not rub it, I guess, maybe.
Okay, well, so... Now I'm going to add rubbing to my search.
Well, while you do that, I'm going to play Robert E. Talking to the guy who broke his arm. And they're kind of on their way out. So it's a nice little conversation.
Where you all headed?
Back to Texas.
Always a drive starting up down there. How about a free meal before you go?
Does he have the power to just kind of throw out a free meal, like a comp meal? I don't think so.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Just throwing out free meals.
I mean, I guess, like, is he paying for it?
It's a good point. Yeah, maybe he's covering it.
Like, yeah, he's just like, oh, meal on me.
Nobody else will eat with me. So there you go. They go eating, and we have Sully treating her hands, which look really dry and painful.
Yeah, they're like flaky and stuff.
Yeah, it's, oh my god. The pictures I saw, like, the skin turned black. Really not great. It was just really, really dire. So by bringing this, people started going back to Grace's. What was the turning point, though, to go back to Grace's?
Mm-hmm.
Was there a turning point? Because all of a sudden, Robert E.'s the hero. Just inviting these guys?
Well, how many people did he, like, buy meals for? Because we, like, saw him, like, getting those two guys to go there. And then she's all like, oh, you're being my hero. But it's like, did he get, like, other people to go there, too?
Well, there are other people at different tables. You know,
Right, but I mean, like, did he, like, get them to go there, too? That's why maybe. He's the hero?
It's possible. I mean, that makes sense, too. And we get a nice little kiss between the two. I don't recall these... I mean, I've said it before. I don't think that... Grace and Robert E. make a great couple. I think that there's too much of an age difference. I think that they're too they're not really, they don't seem like they have anything in common. And I don't know. I just don't see it, I guess. But so this is one of the few times that we see like a little bit of a public display of affection.
Mm-hmm.
Should I play that? Should I play them talking?
Sure.
Sure.
And she has a lot of bread and pies on that table.
What's that for?
Be my hero.
I'll be your hero.
Here's your supper.
Yeah, thanks, Grace.
Since Colleen's sick, we ain't had no one to do the cooking.
So supper would be like lunch, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and then you have dinner, maybe. If you can afford it.
Here you go, Myra.
Thank you. Oh, us girls just wanted to tell you, we think you're really brave for standing up to Hank and all.
Wait, I just want to go back for one... Oh, no, forget it.
Back to work before I make you eat this slop.
And Hank's back.
Wearing a really nice vest, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, even though he's unshaven and probably smells kind of rough, he's dressed well.
Mm-hmm. I've had about enough of you bothering my customers.
What'd you say?
You heard the lady.
Lady? I don't see no lady. All I see is a nick.
So there's a fight goes on.
So this is the point where like Robert E.'s headed off. He snaps. And,
yeah.
You know, finally kind of steps in and
becomes a knife fight, practically.
Yeah.
Sully throws him a knife.
It gets pretty intense. But yeah, of course. I think that, like I said before, we can all agree that this is like not Hank's finest point
No.
It's a pretty low point for Hank.
Most people would not be able to forgive these actions from people,
right?
But for some reason, the fans seem to be able to forgive Hank because what's the next episode?
But you know, Preston just tries to collect a loan payment and.
He's the devil. Yeah, he's the worst. Because he's teasing Sully once. The next episode actually is The Operation. Where Brian... We have to do that episode.
Oh, but then like Hank is like nice in that episode because he like helps build the schoolhouse and everything.
Yeah. Maybe that was his turning point?
Well, no, but I mean, we still have the KKK looming on the horizon.
How many episodes are we away from the KKK episode?
Well, that's in the second season.
Well, this is only 3 episodes from the end of the season. Did you like the episode The Race?
I think I like it. Like, there are things about it that I like. It's kind of a fun episode.
Yeah, but... I don't like these kind of comedic things. We bring all
you
the comedy.
Like when she tries to dress up like a man by putting a bunch of licorice in her cheek.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know. All right, so back in the clinic.
Ma'am. Hello, Lewis.
Hello, ma'am. I came to see Colleen.
Oh, I'm sorry, but she's getting her treatments right now.
Notice Lewis's hair is slicked back now.
He's just came back from his second oath lesson.
He got it through Zoom. And they were like, yeah. you can slick back your hair, son. It's good.
Oh. Well, she gave me this note to give to Sully, but, I haven't been able to find him. The fact is, I don't even know what he looks like.
Well, he's upstairs right now. Would you like me to give him the note?
Thank you.
So he knocks over one of the, lanterns, which is a good thing it wasn't on, lid. He doesn't even say I'm sorry. He breaks it. He doesn't even say I'm sorry.
Kind of weird. And then Dr. Mike is just kind of like shakes her head like, boy.
Like, please get out of here. Sully is giving Colleen one treatment.
Walks on cloud should be having his wedding ceremony soon.
I'd love to see that. Do we have to keep doing this?
I do want to mention, if you want to mention, what was in the letter that, I keep wanting to call him Kyle, that Lewis, was bringing.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian, I got a letter.
I feel like I'm rusty on my Hey, Brian. Like, I haven't done it. I feel like, Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Brian. Brian. It has to be explosive.
Hey, Brian. She basically is just like, Dear Sully, I'm in distress.
Dearest Sully, and there's like a little drawing on the back of the kissing tree, and it's a drawing of them kissing under the tree. Oh. Well, wait, no, the kissing tree is still there. So, yeah.
Right, because Preston's not in town.
Yeah, so it's like, meet me at the kissing tree.
Yeah, it's like, you can treat Grace like crap, we'll forgive you, but don't you dare cut down that kissing tree.
Don't you dare.
Literally unforgivable.
It's okay, we're going to make stools from it, the kissing stool. Everyone can buy one.
He just actually recently, did you see his Black Friday special?
No, what was it?
Oh, it was outrageous. It was, if you buy two stools, you get the third half off.
Ooh, three stools?
Yeah, three stools.
Is it free shipping?
He actually called it the stool trifecta.
But you know, I bought a stool when he first released the kissing stool, and I just went there and they reduced the size by 30%.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of weak.
Hmm.
This
seems like sort of like discriminatory against people who are in small.
Yeah. Smaller, big stool.
I mean, like, Wolf won't even be able to use that stool.
No. It's more of a Fifi-sized stool.
So, I'll get you some laudanum. Sully? Could you help me downstairs, please?
I'll give you a little morphine. How about that? Let's go right to the action.
And then, of course, when Sully's reading the letter, there's just one song going through his mind.
Yeah, and I'm going to play, let's see, right about here.
She's sweet on you, Sully.
No, she couldn't be.
You said so yourself. She's growing up. You think I'd have learned my lesson with Matthew and Ingrid?
No, I suppose I should have seen it.
Oh, it's easy to miss something like that. Now, I can understand her feelings. I mean, you're kind, you're brave.
Sully's like, I'm hot as hell.
Right, and they wrote a song about me.
Wouldn't think that you...
He like turns up the volume. He's like,
perhaps
can you hear
it would
this?
Be best if I gave her the treatments from now on.
You hear it from his earbuds?
Things aren't working, aren't they? The pain she's feeling, it's a good sign, right?
Not necessarily. The tissue hasn't regained its color yet. Gangrene is still a possibility.
You mean you might still have to...
If I wait, there's a chance she could lose her entire hand, her arm.
How long till you know?
If I don't see much improvement by tomorrow...
Giving her some laudanum. Sully's in the background again.
He's like, are you gonna have a hit of that?
Tell me the truth.
Pour a little water in that. I'll finish it off. Quick little, you know.
Cranks up the volume. Settles in.
Get a little buzz, you know.
Yeah.
He sits back, closes his eyes, and
hiccup.
He thinks to himself, the only thing that make this better is 6-inch Hero. Because he's been eating so much Subway that he had to reduce, he's not getting the footlongs anymore.
He's getting 6-inchers.
Yeah, he's just getting the 6-inchers and only one of the Fresh Baked Cookies. This episode's brought to you by Subway. Subway, Subway, Subway.
Treatments are going to work. We have to believe that.
Whenever Sully's like in the background, I'm just gonna play the music. Whenever he's like on screen.
You could still love a girl who didn't have. Wasn't perfect. Couldn't you, Sully?
Aw. It's so sad. So he walks over.
Where's it? She's as special as you are.
Whoops. Too many screens, I'm sorry. They're ruining it with their own score. Jeez. Wish we can get it without music.
I love you, Sully.
We get a real close-up of those hands.
You know. Dr. Mike looks jealous.
Yeah, it's like, I wish I could tell him that I love him. You know.
Sure is.
Sure is nice. It'd be funny if she turned to him and took a big whiff. I love you. I love you, even though you smell musty.
And she, hugs Sully, and she comes away. She's, picking Wolf's hair out of her mouth.
So now she's alone, and she's just kind of hanging out in bed. Let's see what happens here. I'm sorry. So this is what's weird. I thought this is a little bit weird. So we get to this next scene, and she's listening to a song. She's in her room listening to music.
Sully?
No. Lewis.
As soon as the knock, she turns off the music. Sully, what?
I wasn't doing nothing. Nothing.
Oh. Hi.
Your ma said it'd be all right if I visit you. So I'm visiting you.
Good one.
Yeah, smooth.
Oh, hey, I brought you some stuff.
Thanks.
I think he's like
a lamp for the one that I broke.
Right. Here's 50 cents for that tornado glass. I forget what it's called. The hurricane glass? Tornado glass.
That was real nice.
So I think it's nice. He brought her flowers. What did Sully bring her? Nothing.
Just sexy boy. That's it.
That's it. Like her favorite song now.
Yeah, just introduced her to Aaron. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good stuff.
Down here.
So she, all right, it's like, I didn't realize how visual this was. He brings the microscope. It's her microscope. Is that right? No, it's not. No, it's his.
It's his microscope. Yes.
Then Myra comes in out of nowhere. Myra actually was a groupie for Air. She knows Air very well.
Oh.
And she is French, right? In real life, so she does.
Well, French Canadian, yeah.
Yeah. It's okay.
Hey, Luz.
The horse,
the horse. It's like Winnie's.
Where's Dr. Mac? I got something I gotta give her. She went to the store. Said she'd be right back. Oh.
It's actually this demo CD of Air's newest album.
Just pop it into tape. So that's dope.
What is it?
Well,
Hank is eating all these chicken nuggets from McDonald's, and they're really old.
Now you tell her.
They say it's all white meat, but I don't believe it.
Well, he used to eat the chicken nuggets from McDonald's, but now he's going to Burger King where they have ghost pepper nuggets, and that's all he's eating. And it's being, I think, the ghost pepper.
Man, if it's Burger King, that explains it. I seriously have, I've had, Burger King breakfast. Not, often, because, it's awful. But, this one time, I specifically remember, it was a while ago, it was, over a decade ago. I wake up in the morning, I'm fine, feel fine.
You feel good,
I'm on the way to class or something. I swing through Burger King and get a breakfast sandwich. I eat the sandwich and I'm I feel I have a hangover.
Oh my God.
Sandwich. It's just so terrible. It's so terrible. So if he's eating Burger King,
no.
I could see why he doesn't feel well.
All right, so fast food is one of those weird things, like, you know, burger places, like Burger King or McDonald's, or as they call it in Australia, Macca's, believe it or not. So breakfast...
They call it Macca's?
Yeah, they call it Macca's.
We always call it McDo, because, like, in France...
Do you really? Do they call it McDo?
McDo.
Yikes.
McDonald's is McDo. So, like, we call it McDo.
Oh, I call it McDonald's, because that's the name.
Yeah, we call it McDo.
What do you think Hank calls it? McDo. Yeah.
He calls it home.
So, when I was a kid, I think McDonald's still has breakfast. Like, you get, like, the pancake breakfast or something like that. When I was a kid, it was, like, a big deal, and I think I only had it, like, once. But, yeah, like, burger places having breakfast things is really weird to me. I don't really understand that.
I do. So McDo's, like, sandwiches are not the worst. Like, the Egg McMuffin.
Oh, I've had an Egg McMuffin, sure.
Okay. I think it's decent. It's, like, you know, 900 calories or something obscene like
that. Right, right. And it's all, like, microwaved looking, and it's, like, shaped.
Yeah.
Now I want a McNugget. No, not a McNugget.
All right, we're stopping the podcast. We're going to McDo.
No, I want to get, the last thing I've had that was breakfast item based was probably 15 years ago was, the McGriddle.
I remember the McGriddle.
Yeah. It was like maple syrup inside of a waffle.
Yeah. I remember
kind
that.
Of a weird thing. All right. Enough of this. This episode is brought to you by McDo's and Air.
It's our French themed episode.
Oui, oui. And pommes frites.
That Hank gets sick every time he eats this.
I'll give it to her.
Okay.
It'd be funny if he said, don't give it to her. And, you know, he takes a bite of it.
Yeah, right? You're like, I'll see about getting sick.
Oh, and Louis, tell your Uncle Horace I say hey. Okay.
Aw.
What are you
pretty
doing?
I'm eating with him later.
What is this little piece of meat, by the way? It's just a little tiny, like, an ounce of meat.
Yeah, I guess, is it like maybe beef or pork? I don't
probably
know.
Probably pork. Because pork, well, I think all meats can give you what this will end up being is ringworm. I think. Are those ringworms? Ugh, I hated seeing them.
Is that ringworm the circle? I thought ringworm was like a skin thing.
Oh. Yeah.
But,
just their circles. I'm like, they're... But he does put it under a telescope and he gives, he sells tickets, 5 cents each to look through the telescope to see the growth.
Well, I'll be...
Everybody's taking their turn. Hank's
there
growing
up. There are parasites.
Up.
Worms in raw meat. It's called trichinosis. And you have to cook the meat to kill the worms.
Yeah, trichinosis.
Yeah, trichinosis. I think that's a pork thing. And it's funny when she says, like, you have to cook the meat to kill it, Hank, like, kind of almost rolls his eyes, kind of like, cook meat. What's next? I just soak it in my rot gut. Kills everything.
That's what made you sick, Hank. Not Grace's cooking.
Hey, what's today?
Tuesday.
Meatloaf day!
I just want to mention that moving forward, the day that we release our podcast, Dr. Quincast, will be officially known from this point on as Meatloaf Day.
I love it.
Me too. I love how... Everything just kind of worked together on that. And it's like one of those happy little miracles. Let's see. And we get to see those meatloaves.
You still feeling any stomach pains? I can give you some Paragoric.
No.
Lucky for you, it's a relatively mild case. You'll be fine. But Grace and her business won't. Not unless you apologize. You owe her that at least.
You know, and when it comes right down to it, Hank is a pretty fair guy. just like Preston.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I would agree. I think that he, you know, has a tendency to kind of like act intensely and fly off the handle. But I mean, like when he shows up at the cafe in the end, he pretty much is, I mean, that's as close to an apology as he gets, I think.
Well, yeah, he's sitting down having a meal. Yeah.
But I mean, like, the fact that he like, you know, kind of waltzes in, he's kind of.
Yeah.
So by showing up and admitting that he was wrong.
So Colleen is messing with her disgusting hand, and all of a sudden she freaks out.
Dr. Mike!
Can you move on? Colleen's come back. Can you feel that? Well, there doesn't seem to be any damage to the nerve endings.
Oh, you didn't do anything.
You saved my hand. You knew what to do with the room water and all.
I'm just glad that you're all right.
Oh, I got this for your birthday. It just came the other day. Hope you like it.
It's a stethoscope, and she doesn't have to use those poles that she was using.
Yeah.
Yeah, those, I didn't like those. In the first episode, we would see that.
How does Colleen have the money to buy the stethoscope?
I don't know. I'm going to look up real quick how much a stethoscope is in a few minutes.
How did you?
I borrowed the money from Miss Holland. I'm going to work to pay
it. Oh, well, that's how your she answer. Got it, I
guess. It's called watching the episode that neither one of us apparently did. Thanks, Colleen. One.
Also, she's gonna have to pay Miss Olive back, though. It seems like a lot of money to like be owing Miss Olive.
Well, it depends on how long she waits to pay back. You know,
she's secretly relieved.
Mike. Oh, thank God! I ordered that 75 cents.
Wait, thank you.
I can't wait to tell Sully about my hands. Is he around?
Is he around?
He came by here earlier, but...
Can you find him for me? I want to see him.
I don't think that's such a good idea.
Why not?
Colleen, I know how you feel about Sully, how you're sweet on him.
I'm not just sweet on him. Our feelings are real.
Your feelings are... But Sully doesn't share them.
He just does.
Oh, you know that's not true.
I know he cares for me. I know he does.
He does care for you. Very much. But not in that way. Not the way you want it.
That's how you know he's on the screen, by the way. This, yeah. He's like creeping
he's like, in the background, like creeping on this awkward conversation.
I believe you.
It's true, Colleen. Mike's right. I don't love you. At least not like that.
What? At the reservation.
I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking that you would take it like that.
No.
You know.
He runs after her in his Sully style. By the way, the grass is all green. It looks like it's spring.
Right, yeah, and we just had this like frostbite.
I just think that they could have figured out something better than frostbite.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting too. Like we always joke about how it's like never cold enough here.
Yeah.
But then it's like this one episode where it's like really cold and she gets frostbite, then we're like, it's too green.
And everyone's just wearing, like, light jackets.
Yeah.
So bizarre. And there's birds, like, tweeting around.
Yeah. No, that's so funny.
You're a very special girl. You're smart, and you're pretty, and you're funny.
Looking.
There's going to be a lot of boys, Colleen, that are going to want
to... I don't want anyone else, Sully.
Now, this moment is going to, like, if you had done this with an older guy who you would end up knowing for years, right? Or if I had done this with, you know, an older woman, you would never live it down, ever.
I mean, I would be mortified, embarrassed for years.
Yes.
About this.
It would take a long time.
I mean, this
time.
Would seriously, I'd be embarrassed for years. And then even like when I think I've gotten over it, it would be come. One of those things. Like I would wake up in the middle of the night and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed.
Right. It's one of those kind of like every once in a while you get a pit in your stomach where you're like, oh.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah.
I know we were meant to be together.
That's the way you feel now, but that's all going to change in time.
But you made me a mixtape.
It was all sexy boy.
It was all sexy boy. And they did that
10-hour loop.
Don't you remember karaoke? When we did sexy boy together?
No, it won't.
Aw.
Open mic night at the saloon.
Open night. That's a good idea for like several episodes. It's coming. 2022.
You saved me. You're my heroes, really.
Oh, that's how it's titled, Heroes.
Well, I mean, so Grace calls Robert E. Hero, and then she calls him Hero.
You see
so,
Wolf yeah. come by, and somebody say that's Hero?
Why there are two heroes, and it's called Heroes.
You see Wolf kind of come by. Hey, somebody say Hero.
Am I the one who sniffed you out or not? Come on, give me some credit.
Can I get your wrapper?
Like the man in the story? That's all this is. A story. Colleen, I don't want to be your hero. I just want to be your friend. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
What does it even mean?
See ya.
Like, maybe you should distance yourself a little bit. Is this when Colleen says, if I had a remembrance book?
Like, talk to you later. She's like, 5 minutes?
Right. So you're saying there's a chance. Wait for her to go, if in 40 years you're not married and I'm not married... Will you, can we get married?
Yeah, they like make a pact.
Yeah.
I'll be old enough then, Sully.
You'll be 81. 81-year-old Sully. Yeah, poor Colleen won. I think he handled it.
She's not going to have a boyfriend until next season when she kisses the kid from Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. Isn't that Brian's brother?
Yeah, right? With a little mustache. Hey, Brian. Dude, what if, like, Kyle is his brother? Wouldn't that be crazy?
You know, we were saying that somebody should be his dad. Remember? He was, oh, the guy who's, like, who was yelling whore?
Oh, you lousy whore.
You lousy whore.
That's Kyle's dad. Yeah.
That's Kyle's dad.
Yes.
Oh my God.
A booming business right here. You fool to go anyplace else, I guess.
Now, we said this, well, you might have said this when we first started this wonderful podcast back in 2021. And you said that the loaves look more like bread loaves. And they kind of do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like when I've had meatloaf, it's been like meat, you know? Like, just in, like, a square shape.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't look like bread, but, like, her thing looks like bread, and I always kind of wondered about that. Like, is it just, like, meat kind of, like, worked into...
Like a loaf. Like,
the
shape.
Loaf, right. Or is it, like, in the middle of the loaf, like, it's, like, stuffed with it? Or what the deal is there? Because it looks weird.
It looks... Yeah, it does look a little bit weird. Have you ever had meatloaf with hard-boiled eggs in it?
I have not.
Yeah, so when you cut it, you get like a slice of the hard-boiled egg.
Ooh, I do like eggs.
So and I've also made scotch eggs. I don't know if you've ever had that.
Ooh, I like scotch eggs.
Yeah, those are, and they're fun to make too. So, and they're so easy to make. Those are good. Scotch eggs.
I guess it would.
Here you go, folks. Come on, give me a hand. Mm-hmm. I sure am glad to have your favorite customer back.
Sure am. Sure. We did it.
I wish to take us.
Colleen has hooks now.
Hooks.
It's not even funny. I'm laughing. And a tank.
The way he walks in is just really comical.
Yeah, it's kind of goofy.
The music is goofy too.
Yeah. And what do you think of Grace's outfit in this?
Let me get to a spot where I have...
You go to like 44:59, where she's holding a knife, which is actually really a great shot.
So this shirt is not my favorite. The two dresses I like, there's that one that I pointed out that had like kind of like... I guess it was kind of like a grayish color, grayish blue in the head. Or maybe it was sort of green. It was like one of those weird colors. And it had like the nice like swoopy sleeves. And then there's the one that was red that had like these really nice cuffs that I liked. This one, I like this shirt better than that white one that she was wearing. But I don't know, the pattern's not my favorite.
The reason why I like the lighter one is we don't see her normally in very light colors. So.
Right.
And even her makeup and everything is just a lot more styled in this.
She looks like a lot more done up.
Yeah.
She had
a wedding to go to later or something.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I didn't notice this until just now. She looks at the knife and puts it down.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
This is like Harriet's theme song.
Yeah.
I have the meatloaf.
Which Harriet? Your Harriet or Olsen?
My Harriet.
And in the background, you have Lauren just kind of smiling, like waiting for something bad to happen. And
you just have Lauren like having lunch with Myra.
Yeah, and Myra's just back there going, you know, kind of like, all right, guys.
She's like looking at the watch like, all right, you got 30 minutes to finish your lunch.
Right, exactly.
Or it's going to be extra.
Please.
Fine choice.
He does it to Lauren, who jumps. Kind of like your Harriet.
The way she jumps. Yeah, right.
But one of my favorite things that I found from this episode
is... What's today? Tuesday. Meatloaf day.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's a good laugh.
That was a pretty good laugh. It was unintentional. So, that's kind of where we ended it, except we have this little bit of a dialogue that's coming out.
May I be excused for a minute? I'd like to say hello to my friend.
Of course.
What's his name?
Sit down and finish your meatloaf.
Hello, Horace's nephew.
Are you going to go say goodbye before he goes to Oath Camp?
So I heard you're off to Oath Camp. Guess you're going to be pretty busy at Oath Camp. Michaela has that like bright blue blouse on.
I like her in blue. Yeah. She looks good in blue.
Yeah. Aside from that one dress that we've pointed out that looks like a potato sack, she pretty much pulls off most of her outfits, I think.
Right. She does in the first season have some purple shirts. That purple is not like my favorite color on her personally.
Right.
She looks fine. Like she can wear anything and she looks like fine in it.
Yeah.
But it's just not like my favorite. Like I like her better when she's wearing like blues, greens.
And also like just that. Point out that people are just sitting at these tables outdoors with, you know, nothing. Like just regular shirts on.
Yeah, right. And Colleen's like fresh out of frostbite. Yeah.
From a month ago or whatever.
Yes.
And Colleen's wearing her typical Colleen 1 ill-fitted dress that Colleen 2 wouldn't go anywhere near.
Right. Colleen 2 had like a personal tailor.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think it's necessarily like a body shape or anything like that. I think it's literally just she's poorly dressed in comparison.
I would agree.
Mind if I sit down?
Yeah.
I mean,
no. yeah, I mind.
My best friend's sitting there. You don't see him?
Please, have a seat.
Charleston, a sexy boy. Like in this episode, like everyone in town gets super into that song. It just like spreads.
So that's Sully.
Yeah. That's him.
I don't see why you like him so much.
Sully? We're just friends.
Good.
What?
Well, I mean, good for you. He seems like a nice friend.
Well, you're nice, too.
I am?
Yeah. And you're smart.
That's it.
I bet you could be a scientist.
Well, you could, too.
He's like, this lady science? Sexy boy?
No. Yeah, they're like, kind of like, you know, a little creepy, but, you know, those little glasses are the size of quarters.
Yeah. Test Marie Mitchell. She discovered a comet.
Really? Like Halley's Comet?
Yeah. You know, if I discovered a comet, I'd name it after you.
Aw. But Sully never said that.
Yeah, right.
Now, I did find on YouTube, I think it's like motivational talking, is Colleen Comet.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't click on the link. I saw it in your notes, but I didn't click on it.
It's like, well, oh, I didn't know this. It's like ASMR. All right, I'm going to play just a little bit ASMR nature blessing. Loading up. I guess it's just this. You know what this needs, right?
Yeah.
So it's just this. Skip around. All right, we'll pass on that. Good job.
It's just kind of white noise.
Yeah, I mean, it's video of, like, nature. A lot of ASMR.
Not visual.
And she has videos like, do you know how to hack your brain? And how to tap into your intuition. I think you'd like this channel a lot. I'll put a link to it in the show notes just for you.
Oh, thanks.
And just ends. Well, I thought this was a cute episode. When I first saw it, I thought this was a good episode.
Yeah, like I said, it's never been like one of my favorites, but I guess it's grown on me a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do think that the story with like Grace and Hank is, you know, it's like uncomfortable, but I think it's like a good storyline.
Mm-hmm.
The Colleen thing is like super cringy, and I just seriously cannot believe. I mean, I would love if in like the sixth season, something surfaces where we learn that she's been like embarrassed for years about this or something.
Right, like kind of like in Little House on the Prairie, we have the flashbacks and everything, and it's like they're all like talking about things that happened in their lives, and it would be great if she would have bring that up. Say, oh my god, do you remember when I was in love with you, Sully?
Or like Michaela would bring it up. She'd be like, shut up, Mom.
Let me just read my remembrance book. So,
right, and then, like, actually, pretty notably absent from this episode is Brian. Like, he was in it,
oh, he's
but
barely
hardly.
In it, yeah. He had, like, two speaking lines, and that was it.
Right.
But, you know, I just feel like the frostbite was a weird choice in the middle of spring.
And they could have done something else, like the tree falls on her leg and it breaks or something.
Right. I mean, they could have done that. I mean, they already had the tree that fell. Why not just kind of... And she was already doing the cast, so it's like they had the materials. I thought that was weird, too. You know, setting the guy's arm. The guy was barely in this. Maybe he should have helped find Colleen.
True.
I don't know. The whole thing is very strange. Very strange. Very strange. But, so yeah, so this is our last recording of the year, but it will not affect our listeners. Hopefully you're visiting our drquincast.com website.
Facebook group.
In the Facebook group, Dr. Quincast. There's a page. All types of good stuff.
Yeah, join the group. Keep up, follow up.
Keep up, follow up.
Discuss.
Every Tuesday, it's Meatloaf Day.
Yeah, right.
Never forget. It's always Meatloaf Day on Tuesday. But, all right, well, Kelly, thank you very much. And, we have a Patreon account where you could help support our podcast. And all of the money that we get from that goes right into doing cool things that people just like are not doing.
Sexy boy.
Like playing sexy boy, yeah. Maybe from vinyl. And we'll go vinyling and, you know, pick up the newest air. We can even hire air to come on here and do it live.
I was just going to say we should, like, have him on the podcast.
We would need Pete to, like, you know, kind of translate all of their crazy French ways.
Right, the only two English words I know are sexy boy.
Yeah. I like this song so much.
I like it a lot, too. It's a really great work song.
I'm still so upset that I had tickets to see them. Just didn't. Couldn't see them.
Bummer.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
It would have been cool to see that song live.
I bet you they played Sexy Boy twice. They probably opened and closed with it.
They played it on a 1-hour loop.
They only do. It's like when you go see these like 80s bands, they only have like one hit.
Yeah, just like play it repeatedly.
If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe to Dr. Quincast in iTunes.